Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Show, John Cobell, Ken Chapeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
We're back again.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. You know, there's the fog of war, which is an expression they use, which means, first of all, war can be very chaotic, but even the information that comes and goes can also be questionable. But if true, this is kind of amusing and interesting. We have, for the second time this week, a report that the Russian troops have run over one of their own commanders.
Again?
Yes. Now, well, that's why, how did I preface this? The fog of war.
Well, the first one I think happened because I saw a picture of the guy being carried off on a stretcher.
What did we tell you the other day about the fat guy in the bed that allegedly put a hen up his butt?
I bet you,
the same fat guy that was pictured in five other stories.
I bet you that's true somewhere, though.
Yes, I know.
There's always a larger truth.
Well, this guy's name is Colonel Medvedchuk, no first name, of the 37th Motor Rifle Brigade. They're saying he's dead. Mm. He was run over by his soldiers who were upset with casualties in the unit. Intentionally run over. Now, there's a picture that accompanies the story of an alleged Colonel Medvedchuk of the 37th Motor Rifle Brigade. Now, the next part of the story says it's not immediately clear if the same higher-up is the same person as someone identified as Colonel Yuri Medvedev. That's a different last name. Who was reportedly wounded. This is the guy we mentioned the other day who got run down by his own troops in a tank.
Over his legs.
They broke his legs, right?
Yeah.
And he was evacuated to a hospital in Belarus.
I wonder, see, a lot of the soldiers are kids. They just got out of high school. They were forced into service. And as we heard, they were sent into Ukraine not knowing what the mission was. They thought they were going through some kind of exercise. They may not have known exactly where they were, right? Because they went from Russia to Belarus, some of them
right.
to Ukraine. And then Ukrainians start shooting at them. They start shooting back. They know they're killing women and children. And then they see their friends die. And you got some stupid commander yelling at you. Like, how much is an 18-year-old supposed to take? He doesn't want to be there. He didn't plan his life to kill innocent people. Like, when, you know, when does a guy snap and say, oh, you know, I'm just going to flatten you with this tank? I can see doing that.
They intercepted some communications. That's also stuff that's being reported. The Russians talking to each other. And one phone call, a Russian soldier is complaining that their Kevlar vests lack hardened panels. Comrade General, damn it, I have this situation. And he says, son, be strong. That was a response from the general. And then he said, it's such trash here. Our own plane dropped a bomb on us. It was also reported in the conversation. So like I said, war is chaotic, and yeah, it is often...
Well, you know how dumb the Russians are in this war? They brought along this super cool encrypted communication system, a radio communication system. But it runs on 3G. They bombed all the 3G towers. Oh. And then they realize their encryption system doesn't work. So they have to use open cell phones, which the Ukrainians can easily eavesdrop on. And so they figure out exactly what these Russian squadrons are doing because there's no more encryption. And it's like, and I read this, it's like they really bombed the 3G towers and then they tried to connect their 3G encryption system. I mean...
Top Russian general today gave some detailed public remarks on Russia's military strategy in Ukraine, saying that the first stage is now complete. And you may have heard this headline today, and we're trying to see what it means, that the focus is now just in eastern Ukraine. This is the Donbas region.
Yeah.
Where there are allegedly these Russian separatists, and of course Ukraine's been fighting there internally for a number of years. And some are interpreting this to mean that perhaps their goals are being curtailed. They are going to just be happy if they can control that eastern Donbas region and give up trying to take over Kyiv and all the other big cities. We don't know.
Come back another day.
Maybe.
Maybe declare
some kind of victory for freeing Donbas something like that.
They're going to have to rewrite what's happening here in order to sell it to the public.
Right.
So they're going to say, well, this is all we wanted to do anyway. And we've done it.
Yeah, that's how he put it today. The liberation of Donbas.
Right.
That's been our main goal. And that's what some of the soldiers thought, too, that they were there for some sort of peacekeeping liberation mission. But once they started to dig way into Ukraine and they had to attack cities, and they're ending up confronting civilians, and they're like, what the hell?
No, Putin not only lies to the enemy.
Yeah, he lies to his own people.
Lies to his own soldiers.
Soldiers, right.
Yeah. And when you lie to your own military, well, of course, they're going to be uncoordinated in their response because they literally don't know why they're there and what they're doing.
This, I hate to be optimistic, but if this holds up, this could be their way of making a graceful exit and claiming victory. And they don't care what we say.
Yeah. I mean, CNN has a breaking news flash saying Russian ground forces have stopped moving towards Kyiv. That's coming from the U.S. government.
But that's happened before.
Right.
Because literally they got stuck a few times.
Right. But I wonder if they're going to, if it aligns with that story you had, that they're just going to stop and declare victory in the east.
Well, this Russian official says 1,351 military personnel have been killed in Ukraine. That's a lot lower than the Western estimates we've seen of 10 to 15,000.
Yeah.
You would expect that would happen.
It's like China's COVID death total discrepancies.
I know.
I did see that the Turkish president has been trying to broker peace talks, carrying messages back and forth between Zelensky and Putin, and that they had agreed on some things, but one thing they will not agree on is Putin wants official recognition that he owns the eastern region. And Zelensky said, no way.
That's not going to happen.
Apparently, they agreed on 4 out of 6 demands, and one that they don't agree on, and maybe the biggest is that.
Yeah. So the question would be, do the Russians stay in that eastern region and try to show the world that they own it or control it, Or did they pull out and just claim, oh, we freed it, and the Ukrainians are back in there with...
Yeah, well, the Ukrainians will go in there to try to recapture that region.
Yeah, you're right. The live update, Russian ground forces stopped moving towards Kyiv.
So we'll see if they're stuck in the mud. They ran out of gas.
Meanwhile, Joe's in Poland. Did you hear anything from your relatives about the Biden coming to town? Did they go out to cheer him? He's in Warsaw.
No, I haven't heard. But last time I was there, they didn't even have a color TV. So
we'll talk about that. And Putin today, in another one of his speeches, he pulled a good card out that appeals to some Americans. I know you're going to say, what? Oh, yeah. He thinks that the world is trying the cancel culture on Russia. The cancel culture. We have the details of his remarks coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo, KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Well, old Joe Biden finally got to Poland today. He left Brussels, Belgium. He went to Poland. He spoke with U.S. troops. Yes, there are troops in Poland as part of the whole NATO effort. This is southeastern Poland. He's also meeting with some of the Ukrainian refugees. By the way, we already know that Poland has taken on more of the refugees than any other country. They think that Warsaw has grown by 300,000 people alone from this movement of refugees into that country. We're going to play you this small piece of audio. This is Biden speaking to the troops. They're based less than 100 miles from where Russian missiles struck that Ukrainian military post this month. We reported that story a week or so ago. And they're just carrying out training exercises with their Polish and British counterparts, familiarizing themselves with everything in that country. So we're going to analyze. It's only about 15 seconds, but listen carefully because this is a little strange from Biden.
And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of front of a damn tank, just saying, I'm not leaving. I'm holding my ground. They're incredible.
So he's telling
some
the
troops. That to mean he's telling the troops that they're going into Ukraine.
Well, that's exactly what he said.
You're going to see that when you go there. You're going to see women standing in front of tanks saying, I'm not moving.
So he said that in the present tense. You're going to see the women standing in front of the tanks. Like, you're going soon.
He has, like, no energy. That just sounded like he was panting there.
I heard a longer clip of that driving in. And, there's no energy. His voice is very...
It's like...
And no articulation anymore.
Like he's bent over in the lunchroom with a bowl of soup underneath him and he can't get his head up and...
Come on, man!
He doesn't...
Yeah, that was energy right there.
There you go. But no, like he doesn't have the energy to form words. Like his lips and his tongue are no longer operating.
Yeah, I think being out of the time zone is not helping.
Yeah, right. Because that's a big difference. Right? Ukraine's 10 hours later. So if he's talking at...
Yeah, like 10 in the morning.
10 in the morning, that's midnight.
It's right. It's midnight back in D.C. or Delaware. Spends most of his time.
If he's got meetings at 4 in the afternoon, that's 2 a.m. the next day.
Today, Putin, on the other end of this, tried to rile up. It was a televised address to Russian cultural figures. Yes, people who are musicians and such. And he was telling them that the West is trying to cancel our culture. A whole 1,000-year culture, our people. They're engaging in the cancel culture, removing Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff from posters, removing Russian writers and books are all now canceled, said Putin. This is another way to whip up the patriotism,
I guess.
And the comparison
this is great.
Is when the Nazis did the book burnings was kind of the way he's trying to frame this.
He keeps sticking the Nazis in there. The Nazis are the all-purpose justification. Whenever you're attacking something.
They have a special demonic place, too, in Russian history. So.
Yeah, and it was the last time Russia won something. Since World War II, it's been all downhill.
It's the last time Russia won something.
Yeah, Stalin beat Hitler.
Now he's correct. There has been some performances by Russian musicians or concerts that have been canceled, including a Russian conductor by the name of Valery Grigev. A friend and supporter of Putin. He was part of the meeting, and apparently one of his concerts that was scheduled, I think he was with the Vienna group, was called off. Also, some events involving dead Russian cultural figures have been abandoned. The Cardiff Philharmonic Orchestra has removed the Russian composer Tchaikovsky from its program. Putin then wandered off into children's book territory, bringing up the name of J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books.
Mm-hmm.
In case you haven't followed her, she's had quite an experience with the transgender community.
Yeah, she doesn't buy into transgender stuff. And so,
right.
They've tried to cancel her, but too many people like Harry Potter, so hasn't really gone anywhere.
He played that note, and she apparently put out a statement. Critiques of Western culture, cancel culture, are possibly not best made by those currently slaughtering civilians for the crimes of resistance or who jail and poison their critics. That's a pretty good tweet she put out.
You know, I heard today on CNN, just a terrible, terrible story, because, you know, you need these stories, as awful as they are, to understand the horror here. Because it's easy to treat like Putin almost like a cartoon character after a while, but what they're doing is so awful. There was a story at a hospital where wounded children are being treated, and they talked to the mother. The family was trying to escape. Russian soldiers had invaded the town, right. And so they saw some Russian soldiers ahead down the road, so they quickly made a turn. As soon as they made the turn, the Russians fired at the car, and their little daughter, she's really small because she's just learning how to count. You'll see why in a second. The little daughter took a bullet in the jaw.
Oh.
It hit her tongue, the back of her tongue, and lodged in her throat right next to her carotid artery. The soldiers didn't know they had shot this little girl because they just indiscriminately fired on the car. And she was taken to the hospital. And she's going to recover, at least physically. And they had a clip of her. She had learned to count in English. So she was showing off how she can count. And her voice was kind of soft and weak because, you know, of her injuries. But at least she survived. But they say, you know, emotionally, you know, she's startled by every little noise. And I was thinking, oh, my God, that's hard. I mean, these monsters he's got, these 18-year-old soldiers...
Killers.
I mean, they're just, where do these people come from? I mean, is every third person in Russia psychotic? How do you get this many soldiers to do this? To fire on civilians? It's supposed to be soldier on soldier. Those are the rules.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI. More of the John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo. It's KFI AM 640 live. Everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
We'll have a chance after the news at 3 o'clock to talk to attorney Greg Smith. Greg's client is Matthew Garza of the Los Angeles Police Department. And boy, he's been a problem for Mayor Yoga Pants. Garza was once the bodyguard for Mayor Garcetti, and he claimed a long series of harassment, sexual mostly in nature, from top advisor Rick Jacobs. That eventually led to a lawsuit. And the lawsuit blossomed from there into other people saying, oh yeah, Jacobs was like that. Garcetti under oath, not once, but twice, in the deposition in the civil case and also in front of a Senate committee, because he is Biden's pick to be the next ambassador to India, denied any knowledge of this. Didn't see it, didn't hear about it, knew nothing about it. And then there was this internal report that was released this week, which exonerated Garcetti and Jacobs, remarkably.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk to Greg Smith.
Yes, in the face of many of these stories coming from named people who worked in the Garcetti administration.
Weird, but maybe predictable, considering it was a report that was started by the city and asked for the city to be done.
Oh, yeah. No, it was designed to give him a fake clearance. Yes. Of all the charges, and spent $100,000 in our tax money to do it.
Right. There's two senators that put a hold on the nomination of Garcetti as ambassador. That's what led to revived interest in this. And, I read yesterday that they could still move ahead with a full Senate vote, but it would take a lot of time. They'd have to allow a lot of debate, and maybe the Democrats don't want to do that. So,
well, because all this would get aired out.
Yeah.
The Republican senators would love to have a televised debate about the hypocrisy of a Democratic mayor with all this Me Too, Time's Up nonsense.
That's right.
Oh, man, that would I'd watch that all day and night.
Yeah, if they can bring in all the people that say they were certain that Garcetti knew about this.
Because these a lot of these people are such phonies. A lot of these movements are so phony. Just a great way to raise money.
All right, well, the border is open. How would you like to cross the U.S.-Mexico border and go to Tijuana? Why would you want to do that? Holy mackerel, is the gas a lot cheaper. Regular gas sells for an average of $3.96 a gallon in Tijuana. That is almost $2 less than here in California. So as you can imagine, a lot of people that live anywhere near the border, they talk to a woman who lives in Chula Vista, Claudia Jessica Villarreal. She takes her Nissan Pathfinder right over the border and fills up in Tijuana. And she says, it's great. I've been coming once a week. I cross whenever I can. What? It wasn't too long ago that it was the opposite. Mexico, in fact, imports a lot of its oil from the United States. So how is this?
This is crazy. 80% of their gas comes from the U.S.
The president of Mexico, AMLO, we call him, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, is subsidizing Mexican oil companies and refineries. That's what's keeping the prices under control.
So he takes Mexican tax money from...
And he hands it over to the oil companies, who in return keep the prices lower. Certainly lower than they are in the U.S.
So the Mexicans are paying for it. It's just indirect.
Yeah. Maybe it's cartel money. I figured
there was some kind of a scam there.
Now it's subsidies.
God.
Yep, but they do import 80% of their gasoline from the United States.
But the only way you get a subsidy is from taxation.
Yes. I don't know I don't know the Mexican tax structure, so I don't know where they're...
People don't understand that. They get all excited over government subsidies. It's like, you dope. That's your money you're getting back. I'm getting this green energy subsidy. It's like, no, you're not. Go look at how much tax they take out of your check.
It comes from somewhere.
Yeah, it comes from you.
Right.
You're paying for your own subsidy.
Yeah, it says here another member of one of the Mexican political parties said, well, there are better places to spend or invest. The government's losing by trying to keep prices down. And what he's trying to say is they could be using that subsidy money for some other types of programs rather than just throwing it at oil companies to get them to keep prices down.
Yeah, but this is the thing that people care about most right now. When you're a politician, you should respond, if you want to stay popular, to the thing that's, it's like the hit that's at the top of the charts.
Right.
You know, don't go for the 17th most important thing, even though it might be more fair or have a better impact on life. It has to be something people care about.
Right. Says here he's been focused on rolling back changes and strengthening state control over the energy sector. This is the president of Mexico, AMLO. Halting renewable energy projects.
Yeah, look at that. He's smarter than Newsom.
Very climate incorrect. Seeking to increase Mexico's refining capacity. Oh, no. And reducing their crude oil exports to achieve energy independence in that country.
Well, yeah, because everybody has seen what's happening to Germany and the rest of Europe. There are so many bad guy countries who produce a lot of the oil. And it suddenly occurred to these idiot leaders, it's like, yeah, we could get held hostage in a day. The whole world could be turned upside down if one of the one of these bully countries has some kind of problem with us.
Right.
And just cut the oil or cut the natural gas off. And then what do? Especially if you're sitting on it. That's what's stupid about our country and California, is we're sitting on enormous resources, enormous reservoirs of natural gas and oil. And it's cheap. And the natural gas we have in this country is cleaner. It's probably one of the cleanest fossil fuels you can burn. I heard today an oil industry guy say, we have this enormous reservoir in Pennsylvania and Ohio. It's clean. It's extremely plentiful. We could transport it, to the coast quickly and then send it off on ships to Europe. And we could supply everything Europe needs. Europe wouldn't need any Russian gas at all. But we have to build the pipes. And the Biden administration put a lockdown on building pipelines. He goes, we build the pipelines, and then we have to build, you know, infrastructure, ports at each end. And it would take a few years. But after that, unlimited amounts of liquefied natural gas could be shipped to Europe, and Russia would be history. I don't know how you don't do that.
Well, something I did not know at all in this story. Probably you didn't either. He faces a recall vote on April 10th, the president of Mexico.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He has an approval rating, it says, of 60%, but here it is. A presidential recall referendum will be held in Mexico on April 10th to decide if the incumbent, President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, should stay in office and serve his full six-year term. To be valid, the recall must be approved by an absolute majority of valid votes, and the turnout must be at least 40%. How about that? We haven't been paying much attention to
it. No.
He faces a recall like Newsom did. This is probably why he's pushing the subsidies
more. So that's why gas is under
$4. He's got a 60% approval rating. That's much higher than Biden's.
See, so that's why the gas is $3.96?
Yeah,
because it seems even cheaper because it starts with a 3.
Right.
He put that 4 cents below a 4.
I see.
Right. So that's, you know, that's what they always do at stores.
Yeah.
Wow. What are they upset with him for?
I'm not sure. I have not followed Mexican politics to know where this recall came from. It's the first I've heard of it. There's a recall vote on April 10th.
All the Mexican presidents are corrupt, and they're all in bed with the drug cartels. So,
and people in the country are always upset with the leadership.
They
know all that's true that you just said. So
it's a disaster. So,
but they usually don't get it to the point of a recall vote, or maybe they do. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's more common than we think.
We got too many recalls here to keep track of.
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, you're going to want to hear this. We're going to talk to Attorney Greg Smith. He represents Matthew Garza of the LAPD. That's the man that kicked off all the troubles for Mayor Yoga Pants Garcetti with the lawsuit over his being sexually harassed by a top Garcetti aide by the name of Rick Jacobs, and also claiming that Garcetti witnessed this, certainly knew about it, and Garcetti's denied all that. Coming up after 3.
John and Ken Show, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Shampoo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, you want to miss our first conversation with Attorney Greg Smith after 3 o'clock. He represents LAPD officer Matthew Garza. He was the bodyguard for Eric Garcetti for quite a period of time, and he eventually filed a lawsuit over the top Garcetti advisor, Rick Jacobs, and the sexual harassment he suffered at the hands of this man, and he claims Garcetti certainly saw some of it, knew about it, and Garcetti's denied both these things, and this has become a big issue in Garcetti's nomination by Biden to be the next U.S. ambassador to India. Now we have two U.S. senators who want to put a hold on the nomination for the full vote in the Senate until they find out more about the story. So we'll talk about that at 3:05. Joel Kotkin's got another good one. He's been on our show a number of times. The presidential fellow in Urban Futures at Chapman Fixtures at Chapman University.
Like lamps.
Yes, they would be dealing more with Urban Futures. The executive director of the Urban Reform Institute. He's got a book called The Coming of Neo-Feudalism that's out. But this column is titled, I don't know who titles these things, but it's a good one, The Coming Bloodbath of the Democrats. And basically he's going through, as he normally does in a perfect way, what we touch on every now and then about how this woke, progressive, far-left faction of the Democrat Party is out of touch with mainstream Democrats who eventually just have to rebel. He harkens back to 1972 in the McGovern-Nixon presidential race, where McGovern got thumped by Nixon, who, of course, had to resign a couple of years after that.
49 states to one.
They had to kind of revamp the party because they were like, uh-oh. After that happened, they looked around and said, we don't want to go in that direction because apparently nobody's following us. Somewhat so with the Dukakis defeat, too, in 1988 by George Bush. But he goes through very well exactly what the problems are with where this party's being pulled. And Biden's, whether he likes it or not, he's the leader of it.
And despite all the fanaticism in certain quarters out here in California about the Green New Deal, it is not popular with most voters at all.
It is not embraced, is the word they use.
80% of voters, including 80% of Democrats, favor the use of both fossil fuels and renewables. Uh-huh. The general attitude is, yeah, fine, if you get some renewable energy, great. But no way are we giving up fossil fuels. Public support for the Green New Deal is 20%. According to Gallup, only 2% of voters named climate or the environment as their biggest concern. 2%.
People really worried about inflation.
Every person who's a fanatic about the climate is in government trying to regulate it. And now we have $6 gas, which we told you was going to happen. Told you that 1,000 times. You're going to get incredibly high prices. Well, and here we are. $2 more than any other state.
And he also says that there is not a lot of support for defund the police. A lot of people are blaming the Democrat Party for increases in crime and, of course, inflation and the economy. And he thinks this could really come to a head in November when we have the midterm elections, which, by the way, historically never goes well for the incumbent president. It's generally, I mean, Trump lost control, too. So it was likely to happen anyway, but that's why he's referring to it as a bloodbath. It could be even bigger than normally predicted.
There's a Democratic strategist named Roy Teixeira. I've read one of his books. He calls it climate catastrophism. You know, the idea that the climate is headed for a catastrophe. He says it's a political loser, particularly among working class voters of all races. And then you got to defund the police. This is a great paragraph. Even San Francisco, the cosmic capital of left-wing lunacy, has just recalled 3 ultra-progressive school board members. We went through that coverage.
Right.
Traditional Democrats may want expanded medical coverage, better roads, and cleaner air, but they're less enthusiastic about having their youngsters indoctrinated in fashionable racial theories embraced by the educational establishment.
And those stories get so much outsized coverage. All this debate about what's being taught in the classes in certain school districts around the country is just wearying to people. And he says, again, and this is probably what happened in 1972 and maybe again in 1988, they've just lost touch with the working class of their party. He even writes that apparently Democrats represent 27 of the nation's 30th wealthiest congressional districts.
Yeah.
Somebody like Pelosi, for instance.
Yeah. No, everything's flipped over the years. I love this line, too. Where did it go here? The progressive attitudes on issues like border control seem peculiar to most people. Peculiar. I like that.
Peculiar. That's a good word, yeah.
Especially amid massive increases in undocumented immigration. This is undermining Democratic support even among some border state Hispanics. These are traditional Democrats, but they consider this a direct threat to their personal safety and economic security. Only 36% of Hispanics support Joe Biden.
He says if they do get trounced in November, they're going to have to recognize the need to boost their appeal beyond the big cities, the college towns, and the elite coastal suburbs. And that seems to be the emphasis and where all the voices that prattle on from that party come from.
Listen to this one. Among Democrats, according to Pew Research, only 12% belong to the progressive left. This is among Democrats.
Yeah.
Less than, I mean, more people consider themselves conservative in the Democratic Party than consider themselves progressive. And yet they absolutely dominate the political movements, not only here in California, but in the country lately, and the media and academia and Hollywood and corporate boards. And most of the country is staring and going, what the hell? This is like one of the biggest what the hell moments I can remember in my life, where he says, you're looking at this and this does not conform to reality.
He says inflation, largely driven by the energy prices, is particularly cruel to minority and working class voters. And that's a big component of the Democrat Party. And it seems like they just don't care. Their emphasis, is, again, is on the woke issues, yeah. Or at least that's what's right. Getting most of the play.
Well, this looks like somebody wrote the other day, it's as if they built a suicide machine.
We'll see. There's months to go, but this may be what comes. All right, coming up next, Attorney Greg Smith will be joining us for the first time. We'll get the chance to talk to him. His client is LAPD officer Matthew Garza, who had the lawsuit that started all this. This is a lawsuit about the inappropriate behavior by Garcetti advisor Rick Jacobs, which has now led to a holdup in Garcetti's nomination to be ambassador to India.
John and Ken show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/Parity Flex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.